your way, it's time again for us. That would be me. I'm Phil Parr. To come into your house or your wherever you happen to be, place of business. Maybe you're out by the pool. It's a little cool for that, I guess. But whatever you're doing, we're glad to have you. We're glad you joined us on Blind Like Me. We always like to have you. We always need guests. As we say at the end of the show, we do about 80 of these things a year, and we always need guests for not only the blind handyman, but for Blind Like Me. And I want to say publicly what I was just telling this gentleman. His name is Terry Miller, and Terry's written a book about his life. And how many of us have thought, well, gee, I ought to sit down and chronicle my life. He actually did it, and kudos. Hats off to you, sir. Terry Miller, welcome to Blind Like Me.
Well, thank you, Phil, and good to be here with everybody. It's Phil was saying that we express ourselves through various media type in order to explain to others who we are. It's some people have a little bit more difficulty than others in doing that, looking back in the past and seeing what they achieved. And some people are kind of like afraid to talk about things that are difficult and things that they've been through. But if we do it through positive eyes, we can get a little bit farther into understanding where we're at now and where we're going to be going.
Well, as I also said, I did not read nearly all your book. In fact, I only read the introduction, and about 10 minutes into it, I did observe that you are, in my estimation, a good wordsmith. You put words together well, and you describe things well.
Well, thank you for that. I've spent about a year and a half so far, and I've written 10 chapters. And the title of the book is called Seeing What I See, Memoirs of a Blink. And Seeing What I See is kind of like a two-edged sword because it talks about what I literally see, which is not too much, but also what I see with my inner sight and my global perspective on understanding or trying to understand reality. And Memoirs of a Blink, well, the word blink, I mentioned maybe five or six times in the text and at very strategic points, and that's an insider's reprise, one blind person to another. You know what I'm talking about, that type of thing.
I've heard blind people referred to as blinks. In fact, that used to be a fairly popular term. We blinks, us blinks, and blinks don't do that. Haven't heard it used in a good while, but I would say it's still applicable. I don't know. It's a kind of a slang expression.
Yeah, it's a slang. It's not meant to be pejorative or negative.
I understand. You're a blink. You can call us blinks if you want to.
Yes.
You know, the blind people can tell blind jokes. Sighted people shouldn't do that. But we're blind. We can tell about the blind turtle that raped an army helmet and things of that nature. A little blind.
Oh yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Anyway, you seem to be dealing with blindness now. What I gather that at one time you had more sight than you do now.
I had 22 over 200 ROP. Or what we call that earlier? It's retinitis due to
retinitis pigmentosa.
Pigmentosa is another form, but due to prematurity, the eyes receiving a virus, a short-lived virus that just destroy eye tissue, and then there's a scarring over the retina. And I the left eye didn't develop. There was no light perception. And in the right eye, I had 10% in peripheral vision, no central vision. And I wasn't really supposed to be able to see. The doctors can't really understand how I could see through all that.
Well, you weren't supposed to live in the first place.
Oh, that's right.
You were very premature, and I think you mentioned in the first part of this book that your mother always thought that things were caused by her having a little disagreement with maybe a neighbor person about treatment of another child she had.
That's right. My oldest brother, Craig, is severely Down syndrome, and he's still alive. He's in a residential care home. He doesn't speak very much anymore. I think that autism basically has kind of set in where when my dad passed away about 25 years ago, he basically witnessed that, and he thought it was time for a commercial, and you know, with the like on TV when the paramedics come back and yeah. Play the person. He can't understand death because he was severely, you know, disabled that way.
That's amazing in and of it. He can't grasp the concept of death.
Right. He never did really recover from that. He would come to the food table and eat with us thereafter. He wanted to eat his food cold.
Is that right?
Yeah, and so basically he resented the authority, any authority over him, because he was the oldest male in the family after Dad, and so he kind of felt that he was cheated. In his own simple way, that's the way he equated it.
So your mother had her hands full, didn't she?
She had. Basically, we had 10 siblings, and one died after 3 weeks having a deformed heart valve in 1950. That was before I was born. I was born in 1953.
Uh-huh. And even with 9 children, she would have quite a task or quite a job, but then much less having one who's blind and then having one that is that has Down syndrome.
Right.
The other 7, I gather, were, I hate to use the word normal, but they had normal vision and normal mental abilities.
Normal facility, yeah.
Yeah.
And
every
one of them... And, you know, I think did well in their life's course.
Uh-huh. Well, we don't, you know, the story is told in the book, and I intend to read the whole thing. I'd like to move it to something portable. I think I can move it to maybe my Bookport or my Stream. I think I can, I don't know, what is it? Is it a WMA file or just a Word?
I think it's just a text file.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then,
yeah, because I couldn't send you the audio file because uh-huh. I'm using the system access email facility.
Uh-huh.
I like system access.
And it was too big to send.
Yeah. They wouldn't let me do it.
Well, I can. I've got 2 pieces of equipment with synthetic speech, and I'll read it. I'll move it and read it. I didn't want to sit at the computer to read it. I want to be in my nice, comfortable chair in case I decide to nap a little bit. I'll rewind.
Right.
I'll rewind and catch up. But you know, you're sitting there reading and you nap. We don't have time to do the whole story. But when you got ready to go to school, where were you living, and where did they send you?
Well, I was mainstreamed. I'm living in Modesto, California over all of those years. I was basically born and raised there. Went to the Modesto Junior College after high school. I went to Downey High School in Modesto. And in high school, I was involved with the Air Force Junior ROTC program. I had a uniform, a military uniform.
Really?
You know, it was kind of nice being able to wear that. It was a 2-year program, and it was first instituted during the time I was there. So I think that it let me become just like any other person, any other student.
Well, yeah.
And because they looked at the uniform, and if they didn't like the Air Force, well, you know, they would jeer us and just like any other high school kid.
But it would tend to normalize you.
Yes.
They didn't say, hey, blind boy, we don't want you in the ROTC?
Oh, no, no. The only thing that I couldn't do was march in formation. It was precision marching. You know, they were showing... you know, marching in review and being able to you know, follow instructions and that kind of thing. But basically, we studied the history of military indoctrination and nomenclature of aircraft and spacecraft. And I'm a astronaut wannabe. I always was interested in NASA. And that started when I was, you know, about 8 years old, like any other 8 year old back then.
Yeah. The first blind astronaut. What a thing that would be.
Well, if you can get Kent Colors and I on the same line together, we talk about weightlessness and microgravity and blindness.
So you know Kent Colors?
No, I really don't. Only through your program.
Oh, really?
Did the interview? Yes.
What a guy! You ought to call him sometime. He'd probably enjoy. He's out in California also.
Yeah. He's come through the area where he did a presentation and things, and I wasn't able to go, but he sounds to me, listening to the interview that you did with him.
Yeah. Quite a guy. I was impressed, very impressed with him. Have you been to? I guess you haven't been to space camp. You know about space camp?
No, I never did go to space camp. I had some friends from Sacramento who went to space camp, and they gave us a real detailed overview of what they experienced. They were, I think, at the first session of for adults who were blind. They do have a one session a year that's
for blind people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my wife went a couple times, and last time she went, they gave some tests, and she was spaceship commander.
Oh, yes. Well, wow.
She's a very bright lady. How smart could she be? She married me. So, you know, you've got that. But she was the commander of the ship. She passed all those tests, and she was very, very interested in that sort of thing. Okay, so you did high school, and I guess did you play in the marching band or do any music or anything?
No, I never was musically inclined. I was more artistically inclined. My whole family could draw and paint and sketch, still life renderings and portraits and things like that. And I did. And I was able to do that on an equal basis of a sighted person, but only using 10% of my... Well, it was totally a visual thing.
Yeah.
I was only operating on a 10% basis. So I had to run up very closely to the thing that I was looking at.
Imagine.
In detail.
Had to have good light.
Yes. Color, light, textures, defining lines in order to build a proper perspective. I had probably the ability to visually place into perspective without really seeing it, except seeing it piecemeal.
Yeah. And you say that you offered some of these for sale, or you offered them in contests, and no one knew that they were drawn by a blind person.
Yeah, they were done. We took them to the county fair, and I got honorable mentions. Certainly, there were some pieces that were probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, this headset, this handset, is beginning to fade. I think I'm going to go and try to talk through the speakerphone. Do I sound normal to you?
You sound fine to me. No problem at all. Can you? Are you having problems?
Your voice is getting thinner and thinner.
Oh well, I'll try to pep me up here a little bit. Maybe I wasn't close enough to my mic. When you got out of high school, what did you think? What did you think you could do to earn a living or to be a successful adult?
I think a lot of us, I had a good group of progressive type blind folks that were trying to figure out for themselves what they can do. And what we were able to do collectively within the community is what we did. We took the blind club, the card playing bingo club, and turned that into a service organization.
All right.
And we had aspirations for setting up an office in order to dispense aids and appliance materials and things like that. We also established a transportation service before there was a dial-a-ride.
All right.
We used the work incentives programs that the county, city and county were offering, and we took people from those programs and basically trained them how to drive us around with a radio dispatch vehicle.
You showed them, what do you mean, how to drive you around? They knew how to drive.
Well, they knew how to drive. They had to have a clean driving record. We just had to show them what our needs were.
Yeah.
And for them to follow the procedures that we established.
And so this was to help blind people get around in what, to, which I think you said, where did you say, Fresno? Where did you?
In Modesto.
In Modesto.
Yeah, it was just a way of the transportation in terms of our bus system was, we only had two routes to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And then the route system grew as the city grew. And one of the things that was needed was autonomy for blind folks to get around and get things done quickly.
Yeah.
And so we had the opportunity, and we demonstrated to the city, mayor's advisory group, that we could do something like this as a service. And that sort of like put our name on the map.
Yeah.
And opened doors. Because basically, we had an ad hoc group that beat out Stockton, was the other city north of us, to establish an independent living center for all disabled people. And I was on the board of directors after we got things pretty well gelled. And so I helped establish the Independent Living Center there in Modesto. It's called DRAIL, Disability Resource Agency for Independent Living.
So, now, this was a full-time living center or a teaching facility, or what are we talking about?
Independent Living Center is a drop-in service center. We're a centralized place where you can go and get whatever services, core services, important things that can kind of like pull together what your priorities are and being able to become as independent as possible.
So you taught mobility, computers. What did you teach there? What were some of the?
What I did, Phil, was I was assigned the peer counseling coordination. So what I did was I wrote up the specifications, and then I taught some of the modules that I legally could teach, and then I brought in professionals to teach some of the things that I wasn't allowed to teach because I was a paraprofessional.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I trained peers, disabled peers, to work with other peers to bring them in and get independent living assessments.
Okay, where did you get funding to do this? Was this, did you form a nonprofit or what?
Well, this was, they gave me a 2-year opportunity to work for a fee through the United Way.
It was funded by United Way or by the city or what?
Well, it was funded through the United Way. My particular, when they offered me the job, they said, okay, we have a 2-year funding for United Way for you to do this thing. And what happens, Phil, as you well know, is when we get these opportunities, it's usually under the auspices of working with a disabled, if you're disabled. And it's basically entry level, and then you start over again from ground, you know, from the ground up.
Every 2 years you start over, right?
Yeah. And I basically did that for, you know, 10 years working on and off in different projects. For example, I moved over to United Cerebral Palsy Association and did a survey assessment. And then I got hired as a job coach working with developmentally disabled people. The project that I remember most is a hot dog vending cart establishment on the curbside in the city, and teaching developmentally disabled people who had some cerebral palsy problems on how to operate a vending cart business.
All right.
Selling hot dogs.
You chose not to go to college, or did you go get a degree?
I was basically involved with the community college, and I did that for 10 years because I was a working part-time and volunteering at various agencies. So I was busy, but I just stretched out over quite a few years.
You got a lot of education. It just took you several years to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking. My grades weren't not really good enough to be a master's. I never really achieved more than, you know, C's and B's in class. I was good at. In art, I got A's, and in Air Force Junior ROTC, of course, I
got
that.
And in Air Force ROTC, you learned a lot about. I would like to do the thing about airplanes. I think I would be less fearful of airplanes if I knew a little more about them. You know, I'm a white knuckle flyer.
Were you the one that interviewed this lady, that young lady, who actually flew a plane as a co-pilot, landed, and took off?
I did.
I can't remember her name.
I did. That's the first show we did. I can't remember her name. I met her. She came to our gathering in. Her nickname is Bulldog. What is that little girl's name? That was the first show we did. She's interested in taking flying lessons.
Yes.
And when you think about it, they do a lot of instrument flying. There's no reason a blind person couldn't fly an airplane if you could get the gauges to talk, and nowadays you could, you know, with all the synthetic speech we've got now.
There's an individual who is experimenting with a flight simulator. It's not the most recent version. It's the older version. And he's got that kludged up for a blind person to be able to do all the manipulations that you would do flying in aircraft. And you can land, and you can take off, and you can do it under realistic type. Almost realistic type of situation.
This will be on the computer
or on the computer.
Okay, that would be kind of neat. Listen, why don't we instead of telling your story, are you gonna do this in book form? I mean, where can someone get this and read it are you offering this text file for a price or what?
Bonnie Blose at Books and Beyond indicated to me recently that they were interested in getting it polished up and self-published through and offering it as an anthology with some other like projects. And I'm going to find out what that process is. And yeah, certainly I'd like to publish it, but I'm kind of concerned about, you know, I'm writing about real people, real places and things, and I try to present people in a positive way, and I try to tell others that were participants in you know, my experiences about what I wanted to do, but they were basically noncommittal, didn't really have the time to even read what I wrote. So
yeah.
I'm kind of stumped a little bit about all that. Yeah, there's a lot of books being published, a lot of competition, and apparently there's a lot of folks trying to who are blind who are writing their memoir.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get a feel for all of that.
Well, as we discussed at the outset of the show, it's you know, people come in my studio and they've got some songs they've written, or they want to record a CD, or they want to play music, and I try to always explain to people that unless you get a great deal of self-satisfaction out of what you do, your music or your writing, there's no point in doing it, because you know, that's the whole thing, is deriving self-worth or self-satisfaction by doing it, and you did by writing this book. I'm sure, looking back on it, it was a, you know, it's a wonderful thing. We all think about it. You did it.
Well, you know, I'm wondering about that. If there are a lot of people who are aspiring to you know, try to do that, you know, and I'm not a professional writer. However, I did fairly well at English, college English, but I never constructed anything with any depth and any length. And right now we're 46,000 words, and I'm probably going to make it 96,000 words.
Well, you write well for someone who has no training in that. Your prose are very nice, I thought.
I know it needs... what I gave you wasn't exactly as up to date and as polished. I didn't take anything from, but I basically, you know, played with some of the words or added a few phrases for clarity. Done what you had looked at, and which is okay. I mean, certainly, I'm going to hopefully get an editor that will basically ask me the correct questions.
Well, yeah, you might. That might happen, but I think probably self-publishing is probably... We have the Internet now, and you can, you know, it could be somewhere at a website where people could go get it and
I tried to do that through the system access, but the file was too large as an audio form, and I couldn't offer it as an public bookmark. I tried doing that, and I suppose even with the text format, they didn't have the bandwidth of the time to allow that. They talked to me about it, and certainly system access is increasing and improving and growth and all of that, and that's going to be a possible thing.
Yeah, of course, you could put it up on SendSpace or one of those locations. If you know, that can be... Well, your problem is sending it. Your mail client won't let you send a file that big.
Well, if I pay about $10 a month more, I will have enough bandwidth to send it to anybody. And maybe that's probably what I should do.
That's probably good.
I'm thinking about what that would do in terms of its publishability. If somebody thought that it had some good market value, I don't know what the blind community is really looking for. In my view, this has kind of a value in terms of its historic nature, because we're talking about 50 years ago, starting there, you know, and what it was like and what resources we had. Writing about other people, I don't get involved with the petty arguments and conflicts in a personal, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, and you're talking about people, some of them are still alive, and you don't want to get into that. So I'd like for you to give me a little bit of feedback later on when you read what I wrote.
Yeah.
And kind of give me a gut level feeling on did I say too much about this person? Even though you might not.
Oh, I don't know if I'd be. I don't know if my opinion would be just my opinion, because I'm like you. I don't have any education or any writing knowledge or any knowledge of how things should be put together. I read a lot, and I know what I like. Yeah. And as the more I read, the more discriminating I become. I've noticed that. I used to read everything APH sent me. Now I read about 30% of what they send me.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I wanted to, I wrote a chapter on the Orientation Center for the Blind and going there and the experience of all of that. And there's two fellas that you interviewed. They're identical twins, John and Larry Gassman.
Yes.
You remember them?
I remember those wild and crazy boys quite well.
That's right.
They have their own personalities, and I love both of them. That was, in fact, I think we did an hour with them, and then we did another half hour on top of that with those boys. So you know them.
Well, I know them through when I was there at OCD. They were there, and we did an original radio style spoof play. Called The Good Old Summertime, and then we wrote up the music and did all the acting, and it was, I described that in the chapter. So their description of what they did is there, and I wanted to be able to contact them, and I don't know if you still have their contact information, but if you do, give them an okay by me to get back to me.
Well, I will do that. I thought before we sign off here, I haven't gotten to that chapter, but I'll look forward to it. The Gassmans have a lot of talent. The Gassmans ought to be the boys in charge of our archives on ACB Radio, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
They know old-time radio. They met a lot of the people who are involved in old-time radio there. I think they have thousands of hours of old-time radio transcriptions and tapes and discs and all sorts of things. So, that would be a good thing for them. Of course, I don't have anything to do with ACB Radio other than doing these two shows, and they don't want me to because.
Well, I'm surprised that they didn't mention the Orientation Center. But that was 30 years ago.
Yes, it was.
And, yes, 30 years ago, and I'm sure that whatever I described will jog their memory.
Well, one of those boys has married, and I think they're both working. One of them, I think, is working at Marriott's, maybe, hotel in reservations. I think they're both working in...
The other guy is working at Disney.
Disney, that's right. You're right.
Yeah.
This has been a couple of years ago when we interviewed them. But listen, let's give, if you don't mind, if you have an email address that you don't mind giving where somebody could contact you and maybe they could, somebody who will help you publish or maybe somebody who knows a little more than we do because we don't know anything about publishing books. I thought about writing one and maybe I will someday. So give us an email address,
Terry. Okay, it's terryl@samobile.net. So it's terryl@samobile.net.
All right. That's easy enough to do, and let's see what kind of email response you get. I will read the book and get back to you with my comments, good, bad, or otherwise.
Right.
Providing you don't wear your feelings on your shoulder, and I don't offend you if I don't like some of it, or if I tell you what I really think. You know, people.
Well, that's what a writer does not wear their feelings on their shirt sleeve, and I think I sustained enough. Self-criticism, taking criticism in a positive way is healthy.
Well, these people come in with songs, and, they want your opinion on their song. What they really want you to do is tell them it's good. And so I gave up many years ago giving opinions on songs. My opinion would be only my opinion. How would I know? I don't know anything. What do I know? Anyway, Terry Miller, it's been a pleasure, sir.
Very good. Okay.
We're going to run an email address one more time, and let's see what happens.
Okay. It's terryl@samobile.net.
Samobile.net. All right. You think that's it? It isn't. We have more. Dale Campbell has an essay contest every year to award scholarships from Blind Mind Smart, and here are Dale's three essay winners this year. With any luck, let's see. Where would they be? They would be right. Let's see. There we go.
Jessica.
It's hello.
Dale. I've got Phil Parr on the line, and of course, as I call you, then Blind Mike's phone starts ringing. It'll stop here in just a second.
Okay.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good. What was that in the background? What was that you were playing there?
Oh, that was my phone.
Oh, I thought she was playing Nintendo or some silly.
Somebody's wanting to. spend a little money at Blind Mice and.
Well, we want to let them
scholarship money.
So, Jessica, what is your level of vision? Are you totally blind?
No, my father has macular degeneration, and he's colorblind and legally blind, so he's unable to drive. And so I did all of the driving.
Okay, so you are sighted.
Right.
But your father is blind.
Pretty much, yeah. He can still see, but not very well.
He can see, but not very well.
Yeah.
So how was it growing up with a blind father? Did that bother you? Did other kids tease you or anything? I guess not.
No.
No.
We just, he's kind of the joke of the family. Like, he makes fun of it himself, and we all just kind of laugh along. And
yeah.
It's a good kind of thing.
What are you going to study in school?
I'm going to study pharmacy and public health.
Financing and public health.
No, pharmacy.
Oh, pharmacy and public health.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said financing. I thought what a weird combination that would be. Pharmacy and public health. So you want to be a pharmacist?
Kind of, sort of. I want to do more education and awareness through street drugs or, you know, drug testing.
Then you don't want to stand behind a counter and fill little bottles all day.
No. I've actually worked at the pharmacy and a hospital where I live at, and they've, you know, I've been a technician, and it's just not something I want to do for my whole life.
Where you live at, huh? What does your father do for a living?
He is like an inventory clerk at Willowbrook Foods. Pretty much what his job is to do is like the counting and the ordering of supplies.
So is he a member of any blind organizations at all, other than, I mean, I guess not, right?
He's been the member of the Association for the Blind, which is in town, and he went to a vision conference that was in Overland Park in July, took him to that, but he's not very active. He strikes to stay more active with my sister and I.
What college are you going to now?
Creighton University.
Creighton University. Where is that?
It's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Really? So this will be your first time away from home?
Yeah. It's been kind of hard, more so for my sister than me.
Well, good luck, and I hope this little bit of money will won't go a long way, but maybe it'll help a little bit, right?
Yeah, I would definitely get my book.
Okay, all right. Jessica, thank you much.
Oh, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful afternoon.
You too, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Lindsay, I'm going to let you do your last name. I'm not really good at that. What is your last name?
My last name is Yazzolino.
Yazzolino.
Yep, it's Italian.
Yazzolino, it is. So you
Jaws
got
announces that with the with a silent Y.
I bet it does.
The Y is actually it's pronounced. I think it used to not have a Y in the beginning though.
Oh, so what happened? They added a Y or what?
Yeah, I think when they came to when family a long time ago came to the United States, I think they made them add a Y to it.
They put them on the boat in alphabetical order, and they were taking them off the boat in reverse alphabetical order.
That's possible. That could be.
Let's just add a Y. We'll get on first and get off first.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your level of vision, Lindsay? Do you have any guys?
I'm totally blind. Well, I have some light perception, but I don't have any functional vision.
Uh-huh. I
consider myself totally blind. What was that?
Pretty much totally blind. Where do you live?
I live in Issaquah, Washington, and in Washington State. Although in a couple of weeks I'll be moving. Oh no, excuse me. Tomorrow I'm moving to Providence, Rhode Island, where I'm going to be attending Brown University.
Good heavens!
I'm getting excited.
That's a long way from home, Lindsay.
It definitely is. I'm getting excited.
You couldn't have picked a college that would be further from home, I don't think. Yeah. But I guess.
Yeah,
are you ready to be away from home? Are you ready to be on your own, independent?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to, you know, because I've lived in Washington my whole life. And you know, it'll be nice to see another part of the country and live somewhere else for a little while. And, you know, just to have different opportunities and meet new people and just the whole experience. I'm looking forward to the whole experience.
Have you been to the university and looked around the campus yet?
I did. I visited, once I found out I was accepted, they had an event for all prospective students, so they could meet and they could kind of get a feel for the campus. And so I went a couple months ago, and I really like it.
All right, how are you going to fly? Is one of your parents going to fly with you, or are you going by yourself, or what?
Well, this time, I've done a lot of flying by myself, but this time my mom's going to come with me and, you know, some other family. My mom's going, you know, they'll help me move in and that type of thing. You know, they'll stay for a couple of days, and then they'll leave, and then I have orientation, and then classes begin the day after Labor Day, so the 5th.
Yeah. Well, I bet your mom won't be the only mom there. I mean, I don't think you won't feel bad about that. There'll be other moms there.
No. I'm sure my mom won't be the only mom. They're going to actually leave and they're going to visit Boston for a little bit. And so it will be exciting for all of us.
Are you going to live in a dorm?
Yep, I am.
Have you talked with your roommate yet?
Actually, I'm going to have a room to myself, which, you know, will be nice because I have a lot of computer equipment I'm going to have to move in with me. And So it will be nice to have kind of my own space, although I definitely want to make sure I meet new people and get out there and get involved in activities. And
now, Lindsay, did they make that accommodation for you, giving you your own room because of all the adaptive equipment, or did you ask for that?
Well, they suggested it, and I thought about it for a little bit, and I thought that, you know, that might be a good idea. The only initial concern I had was the fact that it could be possible, you know, I didn't want to isolate myself socially, you know, by not having a roommate. And they said that shouldn't be a problem as long as I, you know, make the effort to get to, you know, meet people, and you know, people on the same floors tend to get to know each other well anyway.
Yeah.
So
leave your dorm room open and you'll never be alone.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what people have been telling me.
You never went to a blind school, did you? Did you go to a blind school?
No, I didn't. No.
I've always been
mainstream. Yep.
Yeah. How was high school? Did you play in band? Did you sing in choir? What did you do as extracurricular sort of things?
Well, in high school, I did. For a little while, I was on. For as long as it existed, I was on the math team, and I was also a member of Spanish club. I was an officer of Spanish club. My junior year, I was the secretary, and then my senior year, I was the publicist. And you know, we kind of helped to plan activities for the school, and I mean, you know, like Spanish activities. Actually, in my senior year, they combined it with the French club, so we kind of planned activities for the different, you know, both Spanish and French cultures. Yeah. So, and you know, we had a lot of good food, and you know, it was a good kind of way for people to just kind of have some fun and sort of decompress from all the stresses of, you know, classes and that type of thing.
Yeah. What is your major going to be?
Computer science is what I'm really focusing, what I'm really thinking. That's what's of particular interest right now. I definitely want to go into something related to science and mathematics. I definitely would like to do something in those fields. Although I'd also like to continue studying Spanish because I've enjoyed that.
Now, you are 19. How old are you, 18?
I'm 18.
So you don't ever remember when we didn't have computers that talked, do you? Had those all your...
No, I don't. Nope, I don't.
Yeah, it's like...
But I imagine it made things a lot more difficult. You had to find, you know, different...
It made things a whole lot easier for blind people going to college or just living life, really. And so you will begin classes the day after Labor Day, and you're taking a computer, talking computer. Are you going to take a laptop to class, or how are you going to take notes?
Yeah. Well, I have a laptop I'm going to take to class, and in addition, I also have a Braille display that I just received, and it's very nice, so I'm excited to be able to use that.
Yeah.
And I have a Braille note, a Braille note taker, so I can, if my laptop, if it, you know, becomes too big to take the class or something, I can always take that with me. I also have, you know, my own scanner and GPS software and... I've gotten all kinds of new technology. It's so much fun.
Oh, yes. You have a GPS system for getting around campus, I guess, right?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I just got it not too long ago.
Otherwise, were you a cane traveler or what?
Yeah, I'm a cane traveler.
Okay.
And, you know, the GPS just kind of helps with the, you know,
go ahead, Dale.
Orientation.
Oh, I was just going to ask you which GPS system it is.
Oh, I have a Braille note, and you've got the GPS.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That'll be great. No accidentally walking into the, well, in my case, it was the women's restroom, you know, so.
Well, I don't know how specific it's that specific. I mean, it definitely isn't a substitute for, you know, orientation, but it's definitely nice in knowing, you know, planning routes and that type of thing.
Well, it'll definitely get you around the campus, that's for sure.
That's true.
What was that?
It'll get you around the campus.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, in Dale's case, walking into the women's restroom, I guarantee you, Lindsay, was not a mistake.
Well, it took me... You wouldn't believe how long it took me to train my guide dog to do that.
He did that on purpose. Listen, you don't sound like you need anybody's help. Sounds like you're going to do fine. Would you do me a favor? Maybe a year from now, or when you finish your freshman year, I'd like to call you and talk to you and see how the college experience was. Because there are a lot of blind people starting out new going to college, just like you, and we want to try to encourage more of them to do that. And so in about a year or so, give me a call, or I'll try to remember to call you. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
Listen, you go
definitely
have a,
be happy to talk to you.
You go have a good time and thank you and bless your heart. We'll talk. Go have a piece of garlic bread. I'm sure it's
well. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for you know talking to me and I really appreciate you know the scholarships and everything.
It'll be as soon as I can track down. I'm in the process of tracking down where to send it to at Brown. So as soon as I find that address, it's crazy. It's like going through a maze, you know, trying to weed through all the. Every school is a little bit different, but we'll get that checked.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, once it does, I'll give you a call, or I've got your email address, and I'll drop you a note to let you know it's been mailed, so you can start pestering them about finding out when it's going to be there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for your application and your essay. Man, it was magnificent. And
I'm glad you liked it.
All the judges, well, not only me, we had about 15 judges around the country.
Wow.
And there were 15 applicants, and you were at the top of the heap. So congratulations, and thank you very much.
Good luck, man, Lindsay. And remember, don't fall in love. You're too young.
Really?
We love you. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you
later. Bye, Lindsay.
Okay.
Bye, Lindsay.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Just getting ready to tell Phil that you're our bluegrass player. So Phil is a musician also. He's going to love interviewing you today.
Hi, Jessica.
Okay.
How are you today?
Hi.
And what?
I'm good.
What instruments do you play?
I'm learning the mandolin right now.
You're learning the mandolin. Do you play other? Do you play banjo?
No, not yet. I'm just starting off with the mandolin, but I've been singing for a long time. So.
So you, but you decided you probably need to learn to play something, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good idea. What kind of music?
Yes.
What kind of music do you do? Bluegrass?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You really don't think of Hawaii as a hotbed of bluegrass music. Where did you hear bluegrass music? How did you get into that?
Allison Krauss, actually. A friend of my mom's gave us an Allison Krauss CD, and I really liked it a lot. And then I heard of the IBMA, the International Bluegrass Music Association.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the artists that they had on their award show. Mm-hmm. So I got interested in the whole genre.
Yeah, bluegrass music is a happy, usually thought of as a kind of a happy sort of music. Where are you? You're off to college this fall, is that right?
Not right away. I was thinking of taking some online courses first and maybe doing some things at the University of Hawaii first.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, where does one go to learn to be a bluegrass musician? I don't know any college that has a bluegrass as a curriculum.
Well, there's a school. It's called ETSU, East Tennessee State University.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I definitely want to go there in the future.
But not...
they have a... Yeah.
But not right now.
Yeah, not right now.
Okay.
I need to, learn some things a bit first.
Yeah.
And,
how old are you? 18, 19?
Yeah, I'm 18 right now.
18 right now. What is your level of... Do you have any vision at all?
No, not very much at all. Just very, very little light perception.
Uh-huh.
Not very much.
Have you been blind all your life? How did you lose your eyesight?
Yes. I have ROP, retinopathy of prematurity.
Uh-huh.
I was born 1 pound, 7 ounces.
Wow.
So I was premature. So.
1 pound, 7 ounces. So you were barely here, weren't you? Yeah, I got warts that weigh more than that. listen, that's awful small, but you survived. And I guess you're a normal-sized person now, right?
Yes,
Well, good. And bluegrass music. Now, are you under the misconception that maybe you can make a living playing bluegrass music?
Well, I sure hope so. Yeah.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck, but music is a tough... I know a little about it. I did it for years. It's a tough way to make a living. You better go to school and get you a degree in nursing or business administration or law or something, and then do this as a hobby, because it's a tough way to make a living.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Oh, it is. You're taking mandolin lessons from someone local there, I guess, right?
From a DVD right now.
Okay. I don't suppose you'd like to play something for us. You can't. Could you do that? Could you play a tune or not?
I could.
Take your time and do that. That'd be great.
Okay.
We can hold on. We can probably think of something to talk about. She goes and nuns her. Bless your heart.
Okay.
All right. Go find your mandolin and play us some. Play
all right. Hold on.
All right. We'll just hold on.
She was our top essayist this year.
Is that right?
Her essay was rated number one by all the judges.
What was her essay? What was her subject matter?
Her subject was the way, you know, one thing that the mice like to see on their scholarship essays is creativity.
Uh-huh.
And Jessica submitted her essay as if she were being interviewed by the three blind mice.
Oh, what a deal.
So it was
pretty neat.
A good little essay.
So bluegrass music. It would be.
Played like if you watched the Andy Griffith Show, would that be bluegrass?
Yeah, basically, bluegrass music is a big thing. It's a whole genre. People go to bluegrass festivals. There's one every weekend somewhere, and it's bluegrass music is a big thing. XM and Sirius both have a full-time bluegrass channel, and people that love bluegrass love it, and people that don't can't stand it.
If I'm thinking of the right type, then it's pretty heavy in guitar and banjo.
It's very, very heavy in banjo and mandolins, and fiddle. Banjo, mandolin, and fiddle are the three lead instruments one would have in his or her bluegrass band. It's just, it's like, I'll tell you what, the best example of bluegrass music for someone who doesn't know anything about it was the Beverly Hillbillies theme. That's bluegrass music.
Okay.
That's bluegrass. Jessica? Oh, she's still...
Okay. I guess she's... Hello, yes.
Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, there are millions of people out there listening. Don't be nervous. Play a little tune for us.
All right, I will.
All right, we're ready.
Tune. Okay.
All right. All right. All right. Mama's going to hold the phone, I guess.
Yeah.
Mama's going to hold... Thank you. Jessica. Very nice. What is? We should have asked you. We should have asked you before. What's the name of that song?
That song was called Farewell to Whiskey.
Now what?
Farewell to Whiskey.
Farewell
That's
to
a sad song.
Boy, it is.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Now you don't know anything about that yet, Jessica. You're not old enough to sing Farewell to Whiskey yet.
All right. Well, you just keep practicing. Mandolin, the thing about a mandolin, they're so small, they're hard to hold on your lap. You have to put a strap
on
them.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you have to put a strap around them. I've got one, and occasionally I'll get it out and see if I can make a few chords on it. Can you make all the chords, like G and D and E and A and all the chords that you need?
I'm just starting to learn those right now, the chords. I'm getting pretty good at it.
We're going
to...
We'll give you about 6 months or a year, and then we'll call you back, and maybe you can play another tune for us, reckon.
Well, all right,
Phil,
sure.
If she goes to East Tennessee State, you know, that's only a hop and a skip from Houston for a blind weekend.
That's not bad. She could come down for a blind reunion sometime.
Everybody at the blind.
Oh, that'd be great. Cool.
We would have a mandolin, a piano, Karen Harsing, Phil playing, Don Patterson on the accordion. Two. I think I might have to become an agent.
That'd have to be a kind of a strange group of pickers there.
It would be a unique sound.
It would be definitely unique. Jessica, lots of luck, and good luck to you, and hope you do well at Bluegrass Music. If we can help you, give us a call, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
Jessica.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All right.
And congratulations, and we'll be in touch when you get ready to go to East Tennessee. We'll be right there.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Dale Campbell with his...
Bye-bye.
All right.
Sorry, Dale. Excuse me. All right. Three young folks going off to... Well, two of them going off to college. Three of them going off to college, and good luck with their careers or whatever they happen to do. We had that since Labor Day, and actually, I forgot we had it, and sure enough, today was the day we played it. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we're going to take a little Christmas break, but come be a guest on the show. We'd love to have you. 936-634-9500 is my phone number. Email is Phil Parr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at Consolidated, C-O-N-S-O-L-I-D-A-T-E-D, consolidated.net. Phil Parr, consolidated.net. Email me and let us have you as a guest on either the Blind Handyman Show or the Blind Like Me Show, which is this one. Anyway, we'll see you on, about the 11th of January, I believe. We'll take a little break for the holidays and see you then. Have a happy new year. Bye-bye.